Up in France, we made them dance, and it took all hell to catch us. From Hell or Birth, we're the 91st. We're the boys from Powder River. When exactly should I expect this whole writing for the brand business to start from Governor Mark Gordon? He's been blathering about it for quite some time, and I've yet to see any evidence of it actually happening. Unless, of course, you count that he's at the helm of the most intrusive exercise of government power into the lives of Wyoming citizens that we've ever experienced. Now, if that's his brand, well, then he's doing a heck of a job. Tonight, however, I have a group of Wyoming citizens that perhaps Mark Gordon should take some lessons from, because they actually do ride for the brand. Good evening, my friends, and welcome to Cowboy State Politics. I'm your host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. The 66th Wyoming legislature is in full swing, and there's so many bills flying around that you can't keep track of them. So we're just going to talk about one of them tonight, and it's House Bill 208. Before we get there, though, there's some business we need to take care of. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iTunes, TuneIn, Pandora, Amazon Music, really any of them will work. If you can find a podcast, you'll find Cowboy State Politics there. But the easiest way to find everything out about the program is to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can listen to all of the shows, as well as find any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Mark Gordon and you have no idea what Powder River letter buck means, well, then you can go to the website and you can find an article that'll tell you all about it. A couple of program notes and local announcements before we really get rolling tonight. Do not forget about the Johnson County GOP meeting that's going to be held this Saturday, March the 6th at 9 a.m. at Bomber Mountain Civic Center in the big gymnasium. There, hopefully, we can finally get some representation that we so richly deserve. On the agenda is the election of all county officers, as well as a couple of resolutions that you really don't want to miss. One of those we're going to talk about tonight with one of our guests. Second, with all of the legislative craziness that's happening down in Cheyenne, we had to kind of substitute an episode tonight for the Doug Girard interview. We'll play Doug next week, and frankly, it'll work out better because you'll have more data to look at from what it is that he does at Evidence-Based Wyoming. So tonight, we're going to talk about House Bill 208, which is called the Defend the Guard Act. Now, before we get to the specifics of the piece of legislation, I want to give you a little history of the Wyoming National Guard. The brand I'm referring to is one that every Wyoming citizen has deep in their heart. It is Wyoming's most recognized symbol, and it defines the state. It appears on every license plate, on every University of Wyoming football helmet, on every howitzer, every C-130, every UH-60 of its National Guard. It symbolizes the frontier spirit and the feisty nature common to the state and all of its 500,000 citizens. Of course, I'm referring to Steamboat, the most recognizable state symbol in the entire United States of America. Steamboat stuck with the Wyoming National Guard and the rest of Wyoming's guardsmen when they returned home to the 1st Regiment Cavalry, Wyoming National Guard. They later became the 115th Cavalry. Upon return, the horse design went through a few changes. Its name was changed from the Bucking Bronco to the Bucking Horse and Rider. That design stayed with the 115th when it became the 115th Mechanized Cavalry and mustered for World War II. By the time the unit went to Korea in 1950, the unit's designator had changed to the 300th Armored Field Artillery, and the Bucking Horse and Rider marked every single one of its 105mm self-propelled howitzers. The Cowboy Cannoneers, as they were called, were in the thick of battle, firing into the oncoming wave of Chinese fighters at Soyang. When the smoke cleared, the 300th left the battlefield as one of the most decorated artillery units in the Korean War, earning two U.S. Presidential Unit Citations, one U.S. Meritorious Unit Commendation, two Republic of Korea Presidential Unit Citations, the French Croix de Guerre, 12 Silver Star Medals, numerous Bronze Star Medals of Valor, 183 Purple Hearts, as well as many other individual and unit awards. So what of its motto, Powder River Letter Buck? Well, legend has it that Powder River Letter Buck was a toast to the river's high waters in Wyoming's portion of a cattleman who crossed it in the spring of 1893. Of course, it was used to rally more than military might. Powder River Letter Buck was used by Wyoming soldiers in Manila during the Spanish-American War. When those Wyoming lads faced overwhelming odds late at night in the bars of Manila, a cry of Powder River answered with Letter Buck meant assistance was on the way. The first military use of the phrase can be officially traced to the 115th Cavalry in 1924. In 1982, the 115th successor, the 49th Field Artillery, was granted permission by the Secretary of the Army to use Powder River as its motto. It remains the motto of the Wyoming National Guard 2nd Battalion 300th Field Artillery. Wyoming soldiers were also with the 91st Division, 362nd Infantry Regiment, who used it as their battle cry. The current 91st retains the Western influence with the Powder River as part of its distinctive unit insignia. Since the 1890s, and well before the Wyoming National Guard was referred to as the Cowboy Cannoneers during the Korean War, Wyoming Guardsmen have always been the masters of the big guns and have been renowned for their prowess with the howitzer. It is an absolute certainty that every Wyoming citizen owes a debt of gratitude to Wyoming Guardsmen for their liberties. If you're interested in the brief history that I just read to you, I'll post the article on the website under the show content tab. Far too often, it is Wyoming Guardsmen that are doing us a favor. Well, right now, we have the opportunity to do one for them, and it's House Bill 208. Since way before Ronald Reagan, U.S. presidents have abused their war powers in starting police actions all across the globe without even declaring war, which, if you read Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15 of the United States Constitution, it is the power of the Congress to declare war. But we've gone way beyond that. In 1973, Congress passed what is commonly referred to as the War Powers Act. Its official title is actually the War Powers Resolution, and here's the nuts and bolts of it. That the United States President has to report to Congress within 48 hours of any military action. Now, within 60 days of said military action, a declaration of war is required by the United States Congress. How many declarations of war have you heard in your lifetime? For the overwhelming majority of us, that number is zero. The United States has been involved in a war in Afghanistan for over 20 years without a declaration of war. Congress just passes this ridiculous continuing authorization of military force, which has the eventual result of our Wyoming National Guard being sent to God knows where for God knows what reason. And because they don't pass a declaration of war, we have no idea what that reason is. All we know is that our friends, our relatives, our sons and daughters get sent off to the far reaches of the globe to fight in some country that we probably have no business being in the first place. It probably wouldn't hurt here to mention that the chief instigator in a lot of these wars is Representative Liz Cheney. But I digress. Let's get to House Bill 208. It's one of these cool little bills that's super simple, and it's actually on one page. I know, shocking, isn't it? Let me just read to you the pertinent passage in the piece of legislation. Quote, notwithstanding any other provisions of law, the Wyoming National Guard and any member thereof shall not be released from the state into active duty combat unless the United States Congress has passed an official declaration of war or has taken an official action pursuant to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15 of the United States Constitution to explicitly call forth the Wyoming National Guard and any member thereof for the enumerated purposes to expressly execute the laws of the Union, repel invasion, or suppress an insurrection. The governor shall take all actions necessary to comply with the requirements of this section. In other words, the men and women from Powder River are staying home until Congress actually does their job. Fortunately, we were able to catch the bill's sponsor before he went to take his lunch break. Joining me today to talk about the Defend the Guard bill is District 46 Representative Ocean Andrew. Ocean, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So I know that you only have a few minutes and you're super, super busy. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk with Cowboy State Politics. So could you just tell us a little bit about this Defend the Guard bill?
Yeah, Defend the Guard is a pretty simple bill, actually. We're trying to make sure that we protect the constitutionality of our wars and support our National Guard members. The Constitution says that a war needs a declaration of war by Congress. But this authority has been delegated to the executive branch. And that is unconstitutional. So this bill says that we will not send our National Guard into a foreign conflict unless there is a declaration of war by Congress. And this is important because, you know, our National Guard members are fighting to uphold the Constitution. And if we're sending them out to a war based on an unconstitutional premise, then we are not being, you know, good to our Guard members and protecting them from unconstitutional actions of the executive branch.
Well, that makes perfect sense to me. So what's the bill number, Ocean, so people can look it up and read it for themselves?
The bill number, it just got numbered about half an hour ago, actually. It's House Bill number 208.
Okay, 208. And the last question I have for you is, what are its chances, do you think?
I think it has pretty good chances. This is a tripartisan bill with a very heavy amount of co-sponsors, and I think that is going to help it through.
How many co-sponsors do you have?
I have, I believe it's 18.
Wow, that's a big number. Out of all the bills that I've looked at, I don't think that any of them have had that many co-sponsors. All right, well, Ocean, I know you're a busy guy, and I'd like to talk to you in the future when you've got a little bit more time. But we'll let you go get something to eat, and go do the people's work, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That is by far the fastest interview that I've ever done on Cowboy State Politics. You can't really blame him, though. He's a busy guy, and we did catch him in the middle of his lunch break. And now for reaction, let's go to April Poley, who is heavily involved in Wyoming Republican politics. April, welcome to Cowboy State Politics.
Thank you for having me on, David.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad you had time out of your schedule to come visit with us. So we just heard Representative Andrew explain his bill. So let's just get your reaction to it.
I don't see any reason to not support this bill. All it's doing is asking Congress to declare war if they want to utilize the Wyoming Republican Guard in combat missions overseas.
Well, and that's actually listed in the Constitution. It's Article 1, Section 8, which gives the Congress the ability to declare war. And it doesn't say the president, it says Congress.
Exactly. And yet we have not had a declaration of war by Congress in over 70 years. I believe the last declaration of war was World War II.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And I don't think that most people quite understand that, because since World War II, we've used a lot of police actions, Vietnam, really any of the conflicts that anybody can really remember. Afghanistan is one, Syria is one. An interesting point is that all of our recent presidents, except Donald Trump, have engaged in military conflicts without, you know, consulting Congress. I mean, he didn't do it at all. We'll get back to our discussion with April in just a second. But first, some obscene self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iTunes, TuneIn, Pandora, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is to listen to the podcast from the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Mark Gordon and you really need to know what's going on, well, then you can go to the website and pull up an article and read it for yourself, just like he should do. And now, back to the program.
Well, and it's an interesting point that you refer to these as police actions. I know that from an official standpoint, that's all they really are. They're not declarations of war. And yet my own father, who is a decorated Vietnam War veteran, would tell you he most absolutely saw war for a year in Vietnam. So it's a disservice to our veterans that they don't have declarations of war when they're being sent over to be shot at and kill the enemy.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, I think it's like extra constitutional. And this is one of the problems that I see with it is we have the War Powers Act of 1973, which kind of essentially it just adds time on for the president to be able to declare any of his, you know, his police actions. And what that specifically says is the president has to notify Congress within 48 hours of what he's doing overseas, he or she. And then within 60 days of the conflict, Congress is supposed to declare war. Now, I think that we can all agree that 20 years, that would be Afghanistan, is a little bit longer than 60 days.
Exactly. I think most Americans would agree that they want our troops brought home from Afghanistan. The President Trump obviously made that clear that he wanted to bring them home, and yet he was prevented from doing so. And this is just not right, this constant state of war, of having our troops in harm's way with no declared way of ending it. It's not okay. It's not okay for our kids to be getting sent over to other countries to...
No, it's not.
To police the world.
Yeah, I don't think that's our job at all. So you mentioned that you think that most people would agree with this. So you're doing something locally in Johnson County to help support Representative Andrews' bill. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're proposing?
Well, we are having a county Republican Party meeting on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. at Bomber Mountain Civic Center in the larger gym. And at that meeting, I hope that we can get a large number of people from the public to come and attend, first of all, to see how the Republican Party works, because this is the most basic level at the county level. This is where it starts, at the grassroots level. And I am a precinct woman there, and therefore I am allowed to vote, and I am allowed to present resolutions. So I will be presenting a resolution in support of Representative Ocean Andrews' bill, Defend the Guard. And I am really hoping that I can get enough public to show up just to show their support for this resolution, in addition to just keeping an eye on their county Republican Party. So I'll be presenting this, and I hope that it will have the backing of the Johnson County Republican Party. And if they do, then I've asked in the resolution that a copy of it be sent to Representative Crago, State Senator Kinski, Governor Gordon, and each member of our Wyoming congressional delegation.
Excellent. And like you said, I think that most people agree with the resolution and don't want our young people sent overseas. And now you said that you're a precinct woman. Could you just tell our listeners exactly what a precinct person does, just so they know?
So your precinct person represents you at the precinct level. So I basically represent Republican women in precinct 4-8. And there's one other woman position in this precinct because it's so large. There's only two precincts with two women and two men. Every other precinct in the county is represented by one man and one woman. And what we do is we are then part of the the County Republican Party. And we meet lately. It seems like the party here only meets once or twice a year, but in some counties they meet monthly. Some counties meet bi-monthly. They might have speakers that come and present to the group. It just depends on how active your party wants to be. This party has not been traditionally very active, and I'd like to see a change in that. But anyway, that's what a precinct person does. They attend the meetings, and then the county party can pass stuff up to the state party. So I'm starting this resolution at the county level. If we pass it here, it can be passed up to the state level for the Wyoming Republican Party to consider. And I am a member of that, as I am the state secretary for the Wyoming Republican Party.
what you just explained is that it's your county meetings, that's the most basic level of the Republican Party. And in Johnson County, really, we have kind of a one-party county. I mean, there is a Democratic Party here, but they're in the extreme minority. So like April explained, if you want to get involved, and you should want to get involved in local politics and be involved in the party, Saturday is a great opportunity for you to do that. Now, we've got some other things that are going on at that meeting on Saturday at Bomber Mountain. April, could you just tell us exactly what's going to happen at that meeting so our listeners know what to expect?
I believe there will be a discussion of the vote to censure Liz Cheney, which took place back in January, and then also again at the state level. And most people are probably familiar with that controversy. And then we will also be holding elections for our county party. We will be electing county chairman, vice chairman, state committee woman, state committee man, and I think it's just those four. We will have elections at this meeting as well. And I hope that the public will be able to ask questions of these candidates and watch the committee as we vote for who will represent us at the county level going forward for the next 2 years.
Certainly listeners to Cowboy State Politics have heard about the controversy concerning the vote to censure Liz Cheney. The reason why this meeting is so important is that you mentioned that our county party has not really been that active in years past. And that's something that we're trying to change. And we just need people to show up to the meeting, one, to just watch what's happening and how to find out how our local party works. And two, to show those people who are in elected office, folks like yourself, April, that our opinion does matter. You know, we're really interested and we really want the representation that we deserve and we haven't been getting recently.
Right. It's a good time now with the way things have been going. People, the sense I'm getting from across the state is people are mad and people want to know how to get involved and what they can do. And I think one thing that has happened in the past is people have just ignored what's going on, because in a county like Johnson, everyone just assumes, oh, you know, it's mostly Republican. So as long as there's an R behind their name, they must be safe. And that's not necessarily true. You have a lot of very liberal Republicans. And so people need to start watching their representatives, watching their votes. How do they lean? How would they vote on this particular bill to require Congress to declare war in order to send our guard overseas into combat? How will they vote when it comes to voter ID law? There's a lot of really great bills right now that will separate who's a conservative and who leans more towards the Democrats, but puts an R next to their name in order to get elected by an electorate that doesn't pay attention.
You bring up a very good point. In Wyoming, we don't really have a problem with the Democrats. They're the honest ones out of the bunch. The problem we have is with the Republicans, that there are a number of Wyoming representatives and senators that really are not conservative at all. And the reason those folks continue to get elected is that people aren't paying attention. And I don't think that that's necessarily a negative thing, because most people in Wyoming, we just want to do our elections, elect our officials, and just hope that they go to Cheyenne and vote in our best interests. And that's largely not the case. So it's super important that people get involved and watch what their elected officials are doing. And I think if we bring it back to the county level, that vote against Liz Cheney at the state Republican Party meeting.
This bill was attempted in the Wyoming House, and it was shot down on the floor after Liz Cheney herself called the Senate president, the Speaker of the House, and the governor, and threatened that they would not get two of the C-130s that were on order for the Wyoming Guard if they allowed this bill to pass. So we can't continue to cow down to money threats coming from the federal government and the likes of Liz Cheney and her warmongering friends. This is one way to stand up for the principles of the Constitution. And this is just one small way. I mean, it's so specific that we're talking about combat. We're not talking about providing medical help. We're talking about providing soldiers for combat. So I don't see any logical reason other than fear to not support this bill. And fear is never a good reason to go against what are good principles.
You're exactly right. You know, from my perspective, this bill makes common sense. I mean, it's, and I know that common sense isn't all that common when we're talking about politics, but this one in particular, it sides with the Constitution. Really, it helps solidify states' rights. Because, you know, the 10th Amendment says that all powers not listed in the Constitution are left up to the states or the people. And your National Guard, that's under the control of, at right now, Governor Mark Gordon. It's not really under the control of, you know, the National Executive Branch unless there's a declaration of war. And that's the linchpin right there.
Right, exactly. So I just hope that people will come out, that people will support this, that they'll come out and watch their local Republican Party in action on Saturday morning.
All right, April. Well, we appreciate you taking the time out to visit with us, and I'll definitely see you at the meeting on Saturday.
Okay, and I will be posting this resolution on my Facebook page, and I will make it publicly shareable. So I should have that up by sometime Wednesday.
Excellent. Okay, so just go to April Poley's webpage or her Facebook page. You can read the resolution for yourself. It's pretty cut and dried. And we'll see everybody at the meeting at Bomber Mountain Saturday morning at 9 a.m. in the big gymnasium. Thanks again, April.
Thank you for having me.
The message to Congress with House Bill 208 is really pretty simple. If you want to send the men and women from Powder River to one of your ill-fated and ill-advised overseas wars, then you need to do it the right way. Stop with all of your idiotic police actions and declare war, like the Constitution says you should. Anything short of that, our men and women are going to stay home and probably just go fishing. House Bill 208 is not a big lift for the Wyoming legislature. Representative Andrew has plenty of support, and he certainly has plenty of co-sponsors on the bill. I have no doubt that this thing should become law. But there again, there's always that big question mark with all of these redcoats that populate the city of Cheyenne. So what we all need to do is contact our legislators and make sure they know that we want this thing passed. We want Congress to do their job the right way for once. A few final thoughts before we sign off for this evening's broadcast. On Saturday, Johnson County Republicans have a chance to get the representation that they so richly deserve. All it's going to take is enough of Johnson County Republicans showing up at that meeting and demanding that our elected officials do the right thing. And as April Poley mentioned, this is the ground level of the Wyoming Republican Party. This is where it all starts. And the old maxim that all politics is local is absolutely true. The grassroots is where all important political matters start. And Saturday, everybody has a chance to participate. Now, while only the elected precinct men and precinct women will be allowed to vote, the public always plays a very important role in politics. Do not ever forget that the very first thing that's mentioned in the Wyoming Constitution is that all power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness. For the advancement of these ends, they have at all times an inalienable and indefeasible right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in such manner as they think proper. So in other words, on Saturday, we have an inalienable right to alter the government that we have and replace it with representation that is deserving of us, we the people. From the base of the Bighorns, in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics. Good night.